For those of you who enjoy watching sports of any kind, one of the key roles is the role of the judge or the referee. And in fact, one of the main pleasures of watching sports is to be able to direct our rage and our judgments against those very people. In sports, so much of it is so much of what the rules are interpreted by these poor men and women who have to stand and in split seconds make decisions about whether an infraction has been made or whether a point has been made. Sports have begun using cameras and technology to come alongside human referees and judges. This year in baseball, as you'll be aware that in baseball you have the umpire standing behind the home plate, behind the batter and the back catcher, and they are looking at this little space, the home plate, and they are looking at the shoulders and the knees of the batter. And the ball has to cross through the plate and that little box of the batter. And if the ball comes through that space, you'll see the umpire say, strike. And if it misses, they continue to stand there, it's a ball. But anybody who watches baseball knows that these umpires are so incompetent, especially when your team is up to bat. Also incompetent when your team is pitching and they're missing all these strikes. Well, this year they have introduced a camera system and a team can make an appeal and say, we think that was actually a strike, you called it a ball. And they can verify it or not. And if you can get two mistakes, if you ask for a computer check, and you're wrong, you lose one of your opportunities. So you can be right multiple times, but you can only be wrong twice per game. An umpire, to me, they're almost 90% accurate. Some of them are very close to 100%. I can't believe how they do that. To see a ball coming at about 150 kilometers an hour and it moves all over the place, and then for them to get to the point where 90 to 100% of the time they are accurately saying strike or ball, to me is incredible. And how do they get good at making a good judgment call? It's years and years of looking at that little box and getting better and better and better at consistently recognizing strike and ball. That is how they develop making good judgment calls. In sports, it is these rules that must be followed that an umpire has to get good at making judgment calls about. We might call them laws. In the temptation in the modern West, in the world that many of us have been raised in, is to treat all morality, all of our ethical behavior in terms of law and legality. The temptation is to read the Sermon on the Mount and to think that a good judgment call is a choice to follow certain rules and certain laws. But when we read the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount, our allegiance is not to a moral code. Our allegiance is to living beings, to Jesus, to God, to our calling as God's creatures, and to fellow human beings and all creatures. And therefore, a good judgment call for us is not to learn the rules and to try and fit within them. But a good judgment call arises out of years spent learning about God's love for us, learning to love and trust and obey God in response, and learning to love others. In Jesus' words today, a good judgment call comes out of our hearts, that we would do to others as we would have them do to us, the golden rule. This is a key to our allegiance to Jesus, a key to living out the Sermon on the Mount. And to live this way depends upon prayer. That's what I want us to think about today. There are four little sections that we heard. The first section was, with the judgment you make, you will be judged. The measure you give is the measure you get. That it is a state of hypocrisy to be judging others and picking out flaws in others. But rather we start by looking inwardly at the log in our own eye. The next little section is Jesus saying, don't throw pearls before swine, which I think is strange and unclear. Then Jesus says, ask, search, knock, for your Father in heaven gives good things to those who ask him. And then finally, this section where Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want to look at that golden rule. I want to look at that paragraph that I don't, at least don't really understand of giving what is holy to dogs and pearls before swine. And then to reflect on Jesus' the paragraph on prayer, on asking and searching and knocking. I'll start with the golden rule. Jesus doesn't claim to be original when he says this. He tells us right up front that this is the summary of the law and the prophets, which are 500 to 1,000 years old. And this saying is famous for existing in similar forms around the world, taught by teachers at least 500 years before Jesus, in China and in Egypt and in Greece, and perhaps even 1,000 or 2,000 years earlier in Egypt. It is also famously widely expressed negatively by others. Do not do to others what you would not have them do to you. Avoid doing something against others. It is often expressed passively. But Jesus, again famously, puts it positively. Do. He expects those who obey him to be proactive, to go and do these good things. Jesus puts it positively, saying that we should be taking the initiative with others, to be preemptively loving, not as a response. Jesus doesn't ask us what others might have done or might do. Jesus doesn't ask us what we might get out of it. He doesn't ask us what is fair or even, for that matter, what is safe. But he says, go and do unto others what you would have them do to you. Now, this is not a further random rule in a series of random teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the key statement. Perhaps you'll remember where this part of the Sermon on the Mount began. Jesus said, I haven't come down to tear down the law and the prophets, but I've come to fill them to their fullness. And here he ends this section of the Sermon on the Mount by saying, this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And so this is the introduction and the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. It is safe to say that everything in between belongs to this statement. Which brings me to the passage I have trouble with. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not cast pearls before swine. It's not that I'm offended by these words. It's not that I'm worried and interested in defending Jesus and making it sound a little more palatable to our modern and sensitive ears. But I find this passage ambiguous and unclear. Because how it is widely interpreted seems to me to be at odds with every other part of the Sermon on the Mount, including how he sums it all up by saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Traditionally, the basic idea, what we understand from this little part of the Sermon on the Mount, is that some people are never going to get it. Some people are never going to acknowledge Jesus. Some people are never going to accept the kingdom of God. And so it's okay, and maybe it's even wise, to be ready for that. To have caution about just how open we are with sharing the gospel, with sharing what we have, with what we treasure. In the earliest centuries, in the book of the Didache, the teaching, which was written around 100 AD, this verse was used in connection to communion. If you are not baptized, we say, flee, flee, those of you who are not ready for this. Get out of the sanctuary. We are about to celebrate communion. And for I'm not sure if it's still practiced today in all Orthodox churches, but that at least in the liturgy is still there. If you are not baptized, get out of the sanctuary. It's not safe for you to be here, and only the baptized are to remain. Don't cast what's holy before dogs, pearls before swine. Communion is the most precious thing, so we need you to get out. In the Protestant world, that expression, pearls before swine, is still known. Don't give what is of value to you to people who won't appreciate it and won't get it. But if we think back over the Sermon on the Mount and all that's been said so far, and everything that Jesus has taught, just cast your mind back with me. Don't be angry. Don't slander. Don't curse. Don't hate. Don't use people. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Love your enemy. Forgive others. Don't judge. Give to others. This is what Jesus has said the entire time. And then he ends with, do unto others. When Jesus talks about giving what is holy to dogs and pearls before swine, is Jesus now saying in this one little section, well, of course I don't mean everybody. Some people are never going to get it. You can judge them. Some people you can dismiss. You can call them swine and dogs. Some people will tear you up if you do unto them as you would have them do unto you. So don't waste your time and your effort and your words on them. I say to you, love your enemies, but at the same time be wise and hold back from giving to the swine and the dogs. To me, it seems incompatible. To be historically accurate, Jesus as a Jew and speaking to a crowd of Jews, we could remember that dogs and swine are metaphors for Gentiles. Is Jesus saying here, to be historically accurate, don't share the gospel with Gentiles? Is Matthew suggesting that? It just seems impossible, jarring, incompatible. We understand why humans would want this caveat included in his sermon. We would want this exception, because what Jesus asks of us is so dangerous. There is so much potential for hurt, and it is so hard. But does that fit with anything else Jesus has taught here? Does it fit with, in everything you do, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? So a few have asked this question, since there seems to be this discrepancy. Okay then, what is treated as a pearl throughout the Sermon on the Mount? What is treated as holy throughout the Sermon on the Mount? That we might be taking that precious thing and treating it as if it was meant for the sewer. For what it's worth, take it or leave it. Annabelle's already told me she's leaving it, so. I believe that what Jesus wanted, treated with the greatest respect throughout the Sermon on the Mount, was God and other human beings. Here's how I read pearls before swine. When we are angry, to go back to the first part of his teaching after saying, I've come to fill to the fullness the law and the prophets, when we are angry, we are throwing a human being who is meant to be treated as something holy to the dogs. When we lust, when we are envious, when we are greeting, we are treating a human being, a pearl, as pig food. When we look at another person as someone there for us to control, someone for our own, to be used to our own ends, as beneath us, we are treating them as someone beneath us, as someone we can use. When we judge them, when we don't forgive, when we don't give generously, we are throwing people over to evil, over to the dogs. Moreover, when we hate our enemies, when we do any of these things, we are taking God's purposes for human beings, God's purpose for our own character, our own ability to make judgment calls. We are taking God's commands, God's kingdom, and we are throwing God and all that God loves and treating it as meant for dogs and pigs. And Jesus warns us, this will rebound against us. In fact, Jesus says repeatedly throughout the Sermon on the Mount that treating gods and others this way will come back to haunt us, as we say. It will come back against us. If you do not forgive others, Jesus says, neither will your trespasses be forgiven. With the judgment you make, we heard this morning, you will be judged. But the measure that you give, you will receive. And when you take God and people and treat them this way, you are throwing them into evil, throwing them into harm, and evil will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ultimately, we are also the ones who suffer when we treat one another in a way that was never intended. But we still want that caveat. We still want those exceptions because it's so hard what Jesus is asking of us. How are we to survive? How are we able to be able to give and to give? How are we going to be able to love our enemies and go an extra mile, turn the other cheek, forgive, and do unto others? People will tear us apart. They will take advantage of us. They will hurt us repeatedly. And therefore, Jesus, throughout his sermon and what we heard this morning, connects loving and forgiving and showing mercy with prayer, with knowing God's love, with knowing God's forgiveness. He said, ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Your Father in heaven gives good things to those who ask. And we'll note that the center of the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer. Annabelle was saying, even mathematically, the very center of all the words and all the, presumably all even the letters of the Sermon on the Mount, the center is the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is at the center because this is what we need in order to be able to live up to what Jesus is asking of human beings. We forgive because we've experienced being forgiven by God. We love because we have experienced being loved by God. Jesus is not just giving us a long list of rules telling us that we ought to do these things. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is inviting us to experience for ourselves God's love, God's generosity, God's forgiveness. First, Jesus is inviting us to let God teach us the true meaning of all of these words. Words that perhaps we are familiar with. We think we use the word love all this time. I love that song. I love my mom. But Jesus wants us to learn what love truly is through prayer. And so it's an important question for us. What have you experienced in prayer? What have you found? What have you been given? Have you experienced the door opening and Jesus coming in and sitting with you. We might ask, are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Do you know that you are forgiven? Do you know that you are completely forgiven as far as east is from west? That far your sins are forgiven. Do you know that your shame is removed? That you have been cleansed? Do you know that God has been good to you? Do you know that God loves you? You in particular. These are the things that we must learn if we are to love others. We must learn that we can trust God in order to take the risk of loving enemies, in order to be truly generous, in order to be able to forgive the person that's the hardest to forgive. Prayer is at the center of all of this teaching because only learning to trust God will sustain us through loving people in the hardest moments. Sometimes we get closer than in other moments at loving, but none of us are perfect. And therefore, in order to truly learn what love is, we must pray. We must ask, and seek, and knock. The umpire learns to make the right call from over and over again, staring at that little box and trying to get it right. But for us to make the right call, it's hours and hours in prayer, asking and seeking and knocking, so that we might learn what God's love truly is for us, what love truly is, so that we might be able to make the right call, the right judgment, and the right time. This is a good judgment call for us, to deal with our own sin first, to generously love other people, because we know deep in our hearts and minds that God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen.